And we're back.
Welcome to No Direction Beyond, your source for Starfinder's news, reviews, and interviews. I'm Alexander Agunis, No Direction's everyman gamer, and I'm joined by, as always, by the most intrepid Starfinder this side of the galaxy, James.
Hi, I'm James. I used to write Code Switch.
And today, we're here on the eve of Gen Con. James and I are not there. We're in our normal homes, doing our show, getting ready to do our due diligence. But today is the end of an era, because something is happening tomorrow, isn't it, James?
Yep. The release of Starfinder 2E and the official end of all official 1E support.
That's right.
Right.
And with its end, we thought there was only one real way to go out in style, because, like, I have my copy of the Starfinder playtest rulebook. Some of you may have it. Some of you may not. Like, I don't think you've gotten yours yet, right, James?
No.
Yeah. So there's no reason to, like, do a preview before the book's been out. That would be breaking embargo. And we on No Direction are many things, but embargo breakers is not one of them. So
no, that's basically being a pirate.
It's basically being a pirate. So instead of serving Desmara, we decided that the best thing that we could do was give an ode to the end of Pathfinder First Edition. Obviously, oh my god, I said Pathfinder. The end of Starfinder First
fake
Edition.
Fake fan.
I am such a fake fan. Oh god. I gotta leave. You've all discovered my truth. Anyway, the end of Starfinder First Edition is here. Obviously, there's going to be new society content coming out for the next, I don't know, year or so over the course of this final season leading up to the release of second edition, but there's no more content. It's done. We've gotten Mechageddon. It's here. And that means we got to say goodbye.
Yeah. Society notwithstanding, that is still content, but you know what I mean.
It's true. It is still content.
No more new rules.
No more new rules. And that's the stuff James and I live for. Now,
I mean, the society would be great. I would like to do it more. I only have so many hours in a day and a week.
Yeah, I know. And all of them go to Charlotte.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Supposed to. But that being said, we thought it would be fun to do something different. We want to send out first edition Starfinder in style. And when we sat down to try to come up with an answer, James had this great idea.
Yeah, I thought the idea would be to hurt ourselves, which would be funny.
Yeah.
A lot of our shows are really, they're going a tight 60 just because I think that's kind of the limit of what's attention span wise, but that might just be me. And it kind of doesn't leave a lot for us to espouse thoughts, more personal. We do get stuff in between, obviously. I mean, we've been doing this for a while, but there's not a lot of stuff where it's just us kind of vamping.
It's true.
It's always going through something. So I created a list of questions to go over about our time with Starfinder First Edition. And getting increasingly more spicy as we go through the questions to see what really filters down, because it's very easy to talk a lot of stuff when you're comfortable, but as you get more and more uncomfortable, seeing those change really helps you figure out what somebody's priorities really are.
So this is designed to put me in pain.
Yeah 110%. It is, there's been no secrets here. I've given Alex the questions ahead of time. I don't think he's read them. That's totally fine. I didn't read them a second time. I've only had one of the sauces. Alex has had none of them. I had the first one that we're going to be starting off with. So everything from there is completely new territory.
That's right.
And they will come up on the screen there. For audio listeners, I will still try to go over some stuff, and also try to minimize any chewing or biting sounds. I know those aren't good audio. But this is going to be a vamping episode, so if you're looking for news, I'm sorry. That'll be next episode, surely, because we'll have so much to talk about.
It's true. I don't know if you've heard, but, like, Thirsty and Jenny are apparently doing a stream. It's either tomorrow or Saturday where they're lining out, like, all the books that are coming out for, like, the first year of Starfinder. So, like, there's going to be so much news we'll have to talk about. For now, we're going to destroy our tongues.
Right. So we're going to get into the first question. I'm going to have Alex read the first one. We're going to go back and forth, and I might, again, pick all of them up as he descends more and more into pain. I'm pretty good with spicy food. Alex does his best. He's a brave boy. He puts on a brave face.
It's true. I do my absolute best. So which one are we talking? Are we starting with, so I can pull it out of this handy box that you've given me? I'm going to show all of our people who are watching No Direction live, because we record this on Twitch. You can see my... Oh, yeah, you can kind of see my box. Here we go.
It's okay. I actually have the bottles. The first one up is... Hot Ones Garlic Fresno. A lot of it is Hot Ones stuff, just because that's easily recognizable, easily accessible. I split up and gave some to Alex earlier, so this is what the first sauce is. And the first question's up on the board there.
All right. So, and now, if I remember the rules correctly, I'm reading and you're eating, right?
We're both eating. We're both getting pain each time.
Oh, so we do it at the same time, like a 1, 2, 3?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. All right, first question. What was your favorite Starfinder character to play, and which was your favorite to watch play?
Mm-hmm. So, like, what was your favorite to play personally, and what was your favorite one every time that you would saw that did stuff?
Like, player characters, right? Not like,
oh, yeah. And not NPCs.
Yeah. Okay, so are we starting, like, 3, 2, 1?
Yep, I got mine on here. 3, 2, 1.
Okay. There's definitely a bit of pain on my tongue. I'm not dying yet. This one hasn't killed me.
This one's pretty mild.
It's like a tingling bed of heat on my mouth. All right. So, am I answering first or you're answering first?
I can answer first.
Okay, go ahead.
My favorite Starfinder character to play was probably my first ever character, because it was the first time I've ever made a pacifist character. It was my envoy, mm-hmm. who did no lethal damage the entire time. I played all of society, taking that character, I think, 15th level in society. So that character had a lot of hours of play time. As far as favorite character to watch play, we had a player in Dead Sons who ran a mechanic in a way that I just did not expect somebody to run a mechanic, in that he just kind of disregarded that it was a mechanic and just made it a soldier, but didn't want the extra feats. It was very effective. I don't know how he did it. He just played it like a war game, and it turned out pretty good for him. His name was Butters.
Dolphin
and
Dive!
Trademark Dolphin Diving.
Dolphin Dive, so good.
And it really, like, let me understand how much of the system is based on circumstance bonuses. And, what you can do even without changing your power levels. So I think that was my favorite to watch play, because every time I just run to combat, it's like, oh, this man's on the ground again, and he's hitting me, and I can't hit him back. Great.
I should answer first next time. Having to wait and sit with this in my mouth is torment. Oh, okay.
Just swallow.
I did. That's the problem. All right. My favorite Starfinder character to play was Raka. Raka is an envoy I played in A Signal of Screams adventure path with James and our friend Robin GMing. And what was really fun about Raka is that she wasn't the character I wanted to play in that game. I had written her husband, Pip. They were a pair of Braniris that went on a vacation that went horribly wrong together. And Pip was a mystic with, I don't remember if I was a healer mystic or what I had, but I wanted them to play support. And we get into this combat about towards the end of the book, and I am fighting, we're all doing our best, I take a lot of damage, and I fall unconscious and dying in an area of puddle on the ground that damages me every turn while I have 0 hit points, and I'm the only person in the party that can heal. Meanwhile, most of the other party members are down, and the one person who's alive is our friend Mike's Technomancer, who I had casted Shield Other on. And that spell doesn't go away when I drop unconscious in the ground. So what would happen is that on Mike's turn, an enemy would hit him and he would take damage because he's a wizard. And then I would take half and lose a resolve point. And then my turn would start and I'd be unconscious and dying. I'd have to spend a resolve point to not die. And then I'd lose another resolve point from taking damage from being in the AoE. So every round I lost 3 resolve points. I died very quickly. And to this day, it is one of the only deaths I've ever seen in Starfinder. When I had died and I picked up, I was given the choice by the GM, do you want to wait until someone can res you, or do you just want to play a new character? And I was like, well, my wife is on the ship, can I just play Raka? And I was like, I'll build her as like an envoy, it'll be good. And the GM goes to me and she says, you know, Alex, this adventure requires you to suffer a trauma on board, and I was going to have her turn into a horrible monster and, like, get killed in front of you, and then that would be what your character had to watch, like, your wife dying, but now you get to play your wife, and she gets to see you dead. It works perfectly! I loved Raka. The entire rest of the adventure was her demanding to know why what happened on that space vacation happened, and she was planning to go straight to the top. She kicked open every door. She demanded to see every manager. There were everybody tried to stop her, and she got what she wanted in the end. She went all the way to the top, and she avenged her husband. I love that character.
It was a good arc. It was a good arc. The redemption. It was
very good. My favorite character to watch. You know, it might be bad because this is a very new character. I love watching your Spothinae colony in our Horizons of the Vast game. Do you want to talk a little bit about Colony?
Oh, Colony is terrible. he's a nanocyte Spothinae. So when we did the review of that, I made the joke about bees, and Compton was like, you know, laughed a little bit, bees. And then when I got to playing a game that allowed me to be bees, I decided to be bees. Except that I love partying well beyond reasonable limits. I'm also the administrator for the entire Colony. The whole name's a pun.
It's so good. I love Colony because, like, Colony is like this, he's the most well put together and like administrative out of all of us. But we run fantasy Las Vegas on an ice planet called Frost Vegas. And man, oh man, you know, they say that you should never try your own supply, and Colony is a poster child as to why that is all I'm going to say.
I can't stop using Twinkle. We're in too deep of a situation where I can't suffer those penalties. So we're having to expedite how we go through these parts of these adventure paths based on me eventually having to take that fortitude save, which I think is up to DC 18 now.
Yeah,
addiction. It's getting high.
It's been a couple days of you taking Twinkle nonstop. I feel like I'm through you. I'm learning as to how addiction happens and why people crash so hard. It's really good. Starfinder has very punishing but also very good rules for addiction.
Yeah, they're a little. They make your eyes glaze over maybe a bit, but once you're able to sink your teeth into them, they make sense. Mostly. There's a couple ones that are a little outside cases, like the physical damage you might take from things, but in general, they're pretty good, especially when it comes to stuff like that, because I think it's very easy just to punish you for substance abuse in games, and like, you know, I don't know how necessarily fun that is for just punishing you.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, that's number one down. Number two, just get that in here. What was your favorite Starfinder Society experience?
Hot Ones Buffalo Hot Sauce. I have to answer this one first, Greg.
Mm-hmm. And okay. I have it here. It's red or orange.
It's this one, sauce. The original Buffalo, right?
Yep.
Yeah, because yours says original. Cool. All right. Opening this guy. Here
it's
we go.
Orange.
Oh my gosh, this is the orangiest. This is the second most orange thing I've seen today. Here we go. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay. This one tastes like buffalo sauce. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That's the name on the thing.
Yeah, it has acid. It's pretty good.
Yeah, actually, it's good.
I kind of like that more than the garlic one.
Yeah, that one's really good.
I mean, the garlic one's good, but it tastes like a cooking ingredient. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it does. This one has a bit more flavor to it. So, like, I think I got it on the places where the old one was, and those taste buds were already on fire, so it didn't hurt. And then it spread to new taste buds, which are now screaming in pain. Okay. My favorite Starfinder Society experience. I think my favorite Starfinder Society experience was, do you remember when we were at Gen Con in the Sangamore? And I think I was playing Daxon Ray, my Solarium. I'm pretty sure you were playing Mitsuko Hane. And it was, I think it was the big Skyward Stars Invasion special.
Mm-hmm.
I love multi-table specials. They're my favorite thing to do in organized play because you can't, like, if you're going to go to get Gen Con and you're going to do one thing, you play the multi-table special because there's nothing that you could ever do that matches the energy. Like, we've done good ones with, like, home, like, conventions and stuff, but it's not the same as doing it in Sangamore with everybody. There was this one part where we had come out and we were like fighting the crab people that begins with a J, the Jin Souls. And there was like a big door like into the spaceship, And there were too many of them, and their armor class was too strong, and we were not doing good. And we closed the door. And that was just so funny. No, go away, space crabs. Also, don't you fight space crab god in that one?
Sort of. Remembering?
Yeah.
He comes in, he actually comes in a different scenario that's not a multi-table, sort of.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was good. I love multi-table specials. That's probably my favorite. How about you?
I have a lot. I know what I think is one, but I'm going to save that for a later question. I think my favorite actual moment of Starfinder is probably at that same special, or might have been the second one, where you're doing that big fleet battle, and Fitch offers to surrender herself and crash her ship into their ship to stop them, and they ask the group question, cheer if you'd like her to stay back and not die, and most people cheer, and then. Cheer if you'd like her to crash your ship into their ship. And our table just explodes while the rest of the ballroom is, like, relatively quiet. We just seem like psychopaths.
Well, we are. It's fair. She wanted to do the cool thing. She should have been allowed to do the cool thing.
I know. People are like, no, don't do it. It's like, no, that's cool. That's a great... Listen, it's hard to find your death, okay?
Yeah.
If you get a chance to find your death, you take it. I just remember the society play organizers, just the look, the head cocked look at our table after that was peak.
If they didn't want us to cheer at her doing the cool thing, why would you write the cool thing into the scenario? You just expect us to go, oh no, Fitch, we love you. You got to go back to your grandkids. No, this will turn her grandchildren into legends. She will save the whole society. I remember that.
I know. Yeah, that was, I love that moment.
It's very good.
Those multi-table specials bring so much. Even if you can't do them at a Gen Con, doing them at any con, I think, is well worth it, because you really get to see the stripes of groups of people as they have to work together. I think that's valuable. All right. And bringing up number 3 here.
Right. Time for me to read. Here we go. Reading mode engaged. What change made over Starfinder's lifespan did you think was the most impactful to the game? All right, what are we? And we're doing Hot Ones, Les Calientos. I said that wrong. Please fix me.
it's the barbacoa.
This is the one that in the pre-show where James and I were getting set up, I said wrong 4 times, and every time he's like, you're saying it worse every time.
Yeah, you were just getting worse. Your Spanish pronunciation is, it's lacking.
I'm so sorry. I'm the whitest kid I know. It's very hard. I'll try to do better. Oh, this one has the consistency of like a barbecue sauce. Is that what you're experiencing?
Yep. It's a little bit thicker. It smells pretty good.
Oh my God. This smells like pepper. I'm going to die. Here we go.
It smells good.
This is really pleasant. Good. I like this. It tastes like, it's very peppery. It's like got almost like a sweet flavor, and oh, there's the kick. Okay, here we go. Okay,
yeah, really good on the back end. A lot of shallot and onion flavor to it too, which is pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like the flavor. What change made over Starfinder's lifespan did you think was the most impactful? I think that in the beginning, magic was very like low. You know what I mean? Like. Mm-hmm. There were spells and they were cool and they did neat things, but like I feel like Starfinder, especially in its adventures, really struggled to be high fantasy in the future. And I think that as Starfinder progressed, they got better at it, like especially towards the end, where the last two adventure paths both have you meeting deities. You go to different planes a lot more often. There's lots of weird magical nonsense that's happening. Where, like, especially in, like, Dead Sons and Against the Aeon Throne, like, there's magic as a backdrop, but it's mostly like, hey, you want to play this cool Star Trek game? And Starfinder's way more than that. So I was really happy to see the increased focus on magic, especially around the time when Galactic Magic came out, and especially in the Drift Crisis. I think Drift Crisis is peak Starfinder.
I mean, that is... Yeah.
Did I steal your answer?
No, I think I had a good answer like 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't write anything down because that's not fair. We're doing this under the
under the
scrutiny
pressure
of the
of pain.
sauce. Yeah, the scrutiny of the sauce there. So, as far as changes over Starfinder's lifespan, thing that comes to me like most foremost is the changes to the medicinal costs,
Yeah, that's a
non-prescription
good one.
costs. That one I don't know impacted a lot of people because I'm not sure if people that weren't in society specifically noticed that change a whole ton, especially if they didn't get reprints of books or, I mean, it was updated on Netha, so if you just use that for shorthand, that's probably your bigger one. I think the it's gonna sound kind of rude, but the kind of cookie cutter way they designed later classes was actually a good thing, because it made it so when a new character or new character class came in, it was easier to guide people who wanted to try them into them by re relating abilities and tiers.
Yeah.
It could be hard to explain a Vanguard just as a Vanguard when you come from base Starfinder, but if you have a Witch Warper, a Nanocite, and a Vanguard, those all build off of terms and expectations for what they do at what levels and what they get. So I think the way that it's like I said, it sounds kind of rude to say cookie cutter way that did the classes, even though they're vastly different. I think the way that they kind of compartmentalized around that, because the first like classes, the first core classes, are hard to relate to each other. They all do such vastly different things, and
Yeah.
they advance at different levels. But as things kind of condensed as they went through the production, I think that is bigger. I think that was a bigger change to the game as a whole.
I definitely agree with you. I'm thinking specifically of how like they really started to like take the had the skill progression that a lot of the classes get. Like, okay, at third level you start with a plus three, and then it goes to this by seventh level, then it goes to this by 11th level. And like I think there's a lot of like standardization in the classes that you really start to see that was really good.
Yeah, like I'm not a 100% a fan of it, but like I think it is just better for the story, or not the story, the game system as a whole. Especially when you're trying to get people into the cooler new stuff and trying to try again. Maybe they tried it early on and they didn't like what was there, so they hear, stuff about nanocytes, vanguards, other things, and they're like, oh, maybe I'll jump in again. I think that could be helpful. Yeah, I think that's where I was. And if I remember the other one, I'll come back to it. All right, that was number three. That one was a jump up from the first two.
Yeah, definitely. I felt that tingle.
All right,
All right.
so next one up is number four. This
Okay,
one
this one.
is Verde, which means green in Spanish.
Oh, I got it. Oh, this one says you wrote 5 out of 10 hotness on this.
Yeah, because that's what the bottle says.
What is a 10 hotness?
I don't know. They didn't give anything that was a 10.
That's kind.
The hottest
Ghost
thing
pepper
just,
extreme.
I mean, the hottest thing just has a question mark, so like
That's true. Who
it,
knows? Only time will tell if you will die eating this.
yeah, like the scale doesn't, is it, I don't know, is super helpful, but that's fine. Let me get my thing here.
This
Cheers, ready?
is, yeah, this is my, is this your question or my question?
Yeah, I'll read it out after we chomp.
All right.
All right.
You count down.
Oh, you get.
Oh. Huh. Oh, that's hot. Oh, my tongue. No.
Sorry,
Oh, okay.
I've been trying to lean back very far to not get any chewing sounds in the mic. I apologize for the dinner, but I don't want to crunch. And yeah, that is
Oh.
a bit hotter.
Oh, I
It's
feel
good
it.
though.
I feel it, Mr. Krabs.
It reminds me of if you ever had Tabasco, the green Tabasco, it's like that, but with like a thicker body to it and a little bit sweeter. I don't know if sweetness is what I want it from that, but it's good. It kind of tastes like Totios, sort of. That's what green usually is. Not my favorite, but I think it's a good sauce. All right,
Oh
so
God, the heat is creeping along the sides of my tongue. Oh, good.
with no more first party rules being written for Starfinder First Edition, what's one thing you'd want to see done with the volume of rules? With the total volume of rules. So, like, I'll go first with my example. The thing that I would like to see done is if there was a big old compendium of all the rules that were put in, I would like to see the weapon attachments and items just recategorized. Because there's like three different things that all change your weapon. Four. There's like weapon fusions, weapon makers, weapon attachments, and I feel like I'm missing something else. Ammunition types. And I know I've gotten some people interested by saying, hey, you don't have to do everything based off your character doing magic, yada yada. You can, you know, outfit your base weapons and just be a better fighter, you know, at with regular arms. And then I have to explain, well, this thing's a maker trait, this thing's a this trait, this thing's, and that disparateness of finding all this information, I think is a barrier to people that want to get into the game, because I think, I don't know, the kitting out of your gear is a fun factor in RPGs. It does remind me, I'm getting into Battletech. I say that I've been doing it for like a year. The hardest part of that game is there are rules that are written 20 years apart in three different books. So like if you're looking for aerial combat rules, there's three different variants, and some of them are from books that don't matter anymore. Starfinder doesn't nearly have that problem, but it's the same kind of issue of just your information for things you want to do are spread apart in a way that makes it hard to get into. I know we've taken the just like making our own Google Docs with, hey, these are the rules for how to do this, because looking up a rule book is just a waste of time because you need three of them.
True.
So hopefully
So
that was a good idea for you.
it sounds like it can include alterations and not just like, because I was gonna say like, oh, we could put them all in a thing, like a foundry. But it
Oh
sounds like
yeah,
this is actual like changes too.
yeah, and you could also change rules as, I mean, if you want to get rid of the stupid fog making lasers not work rule, be my guest. I think that's dumb,
That's a
but you
great rule to destroy. I've heard they're getting
know.
rid of it in second edition, but I haven't checked to see for sure. I think that the way that they have equipment designed, bouncing off what you're saying in Starfinder, it's too much bloat. It's too categorized with too little benefit. Like when I think of cool future stuff, the number one thing I think of is sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. So like, why do we have things like, oh, this is a magitech, and this one is biotech, and this one is cybernetic? I would for augmentations, for example. I would love to see just augmentations, and then the player decides how that thing actually changes their body. Is it like a magic talisman that you're wearing that changes your arm? Or did you actually replace your arm with something new? Did you put an undead horror on your arm? I think that having that freedom would be a lot better than the current system, especially because biochains already exist. Biochains is a core rulebook biotech augmentation that lets you pick any cybernetic upgrade and make it a biological one. So like,
Oh yeah.
what's the point? I think that that would be the number one thing I'd like to see. And the number two thing I'd like to see, I think that how Starfinder does leveled equipment and leveled weaponry is very intimidating to new players. I would even go so far as that it's one of the things that's intimidating in Pathfinder when you just have a giant list of items ranked by level and you're supposed to know which one is good. I would love to see a move to make, because like at least in Pathfinder Second Edition and probably Starfinder, I haven't checked yet, but armor is just armor, and as you get better at using it. I would like to see something like that too. I think that gear is cool, and you expect cool gear and cool tech in a sci-fi setting, but there's too much, and the bulk it doesn't come with a benefit most of the times.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get you there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just a little bit distracted because thinking about what sauce is up next.
Oh, I was distracted because my tongue is screaming.
Yeah, I was about to ask how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I got the tear is forming right here in my right eye. I can feel it. I'm doing okay for the most part. Like the steady progression has helped because the what is dead cannot die again. Those taste buds are gone.
I think I will probably end up taking the lead on asking these next two questions. And this next sauce is it smells like death.
The
This is
bomb.
Bomb Beyond Insanity.
Oh
It's
no.
I think I described it in the Discord as smelling like a taqueria dumpster filled with ashtrays.
Oh my God, and I'm gonna have to put this in my mouth?
Yeah, it's kind of thick. You know, to only do as much as you're comfortable with, you know? I don't
I'm
want to
not a
like
coward.
Yeah, I'm not either. So I'm putting a fair amount, I think so.
Oh, oh! Why did I smell it? You told me it smelled like death.
Yeah, I told you it smelled bad. Why would you do that? I gave you the warning.
It smells like somebody drove over a patch of peppers and slammed on their brakes into a screeching halt.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's like right. rubbery.
Kind of. Yeah, it kind of has that asphalt slash macadam. Yeah. So you ready?
For any of you watching live, my brother is in chat. And he is just enjoying my pain. He's the right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. It tastes as bad as it smells. Oh! Oh no!
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Oh!
That is yucky.
Oh! Oh! No! James! Oh!
Yeah, that is yucky.
I'm not okay anymore. No, I'm hiccuping.
Yeah, there's a jump. Yeah, that is a yucky sauce. Well, that's the first thing that ever gave me hiccups.
Ooh. Oh, that didn't help.
Yeah, give me 1 second here. Ooh. You know, the fact that... Oh
my god.
Is really what doesn't help, is that it tastes so bad on top of it. And now the taste is gone, and I'm just left with a burning tongue and a pretty physiological reaction. I've never actually, never gotten spice hiccups before. That's the first one. I probably put too much on that. All right. So I'll answer this question. Let's start my first edition game. You got something to drink? I can mute you here. I'll take the lead while he readies himself. What Starfinder first edition game, one shot series or campaign did you not get to run that you wanted to? Ooh, oh, that stuck up on me. Hold on. Probably a game based around Ruby. Ruby has a great intersection of magic, technology. There's even different species. A lot of things that I think are present in Starfinder. In a way that you could use that rule system, really get the most out of that game. Partially why it didn't go through, I think, is also just the lack of enthusiasm for Ruby as it aged. When Alex is ready, he can give me a thumbs up. Is the lack of enthusiasm for Ruby itself as a setting, as the show suffered because the company that made it suffered. But I do think there is... Alex had told me he was in incredible pain. I did have him mute it just in case there is yucky sounds, but
yeah, oh my god.
That was like a punch in the mouth. But something based around the Ruby series. I don't believe anything could be worse than that.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I agree, Merwolf. Ruby would be a great campaign setting. There's a lot of like lore built into that world, and it's flexible enough. I think you can get a lot out of
it. My eyes are tearing.
I know, it keeps coming back.
And my nose is dripping.
Yeah, I'm going to meet myself.
Oh.
I think I can throw that away and nothing of value will be lost.
Oh my god, I'm still suffering.
Yeah, that's a hard one. You could take another minute or two. I'm actually going to get another drink. I'm out of water and my mouth hurts a lot.
Oh my god. Oh my
I'm
god.
I'm gonna mute myself. Sorry for the dead air. I will edit it out of the
I would say that my my choice. Oh god. I'm tearing and crying and dying, everybody.
Oh, he's gone. I was about to thank him for entertaining. Sorry for his departure. Fun fact, there is a weapon in, I believe it's Armory, that is based off of Yang's wrist gauntlets. Alex actually wrote it.
Okay. What they say about milk helping is true. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I've never been in this much mouth oral pain before, and I've had a root canal.
Okay. This is not the spiciest thing I've eaten, but it's up there.
Okay, yeah, maybe I am a coward.
Milk, no, it's fine. The thing I don't like about milk is if you're lactose intolerant, it just makes everything else worse later.
Yeah, I'm going to suffer tonight. Okay.
It gives me so much spit. Why do I have so much new spit? I don't want this spit.
I don't. I wanted a Five Nights at Freddy adventure.
Ooh, that sounds fun. How are you thinking of running that?
A one shot where the players are security guards and there's a really high level robot animatronic that goes around and stealths and like turns out the lights and
That does sound fun. There's a society fair kind of like that.
I think you would need a team. Like, you would have to have, like, a bunch of NPCs that exist just to get caught and murdered to raise stakes. But it would be very funny. I would love to see a Five Nights at Freddy's scenario.
Yeah, I think it's a good one.
My whole family is downstairs watching me do this on our big screen TV. And now they just get to see me drink the family milk jug out of the bottle.
That's yours now. You own that. That's yours. You've earned it.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to bring this downstairs and I'm going to leave Da Bomb on the counter and be like, if you're brave enough, go for it. You think you're tougher than me? Do it.
I only use a small amount. Don't go gung-ho. I put maybe the size of a nickel on there and that was too much.
Oh no, I filled the whole kind of thing.
Wait, you did? Okay. I don't know why you did that.
I didn't fill it like all the way, but I coated the bottom of this chip.
Okay. Look, we both took a fair lash at it. We're not cowards. Okay. We will be cowards probably going into this one. But
I'm a coward.
There's no way that this can be as bad.
I've learned humility.
The last one is the last dab experience. Uses a Pepper X, which is where they keep making new hot peppers. I don't know why. It's just hubris.
The sounds from this episode are going to be gross.
We've done pretty good about eating away from the mic and stuff, and I'll work on it for the audio. I'm not going to put a whole ton on this. I'm going to actually put it on a plate.
For the vine.
I'm going to pour it on the plate and dip it into there. I'm going to be a little baby because I have work tomorrow.
I'm a baby. I'm sorry.
Hold on. I put too much. Okay. I still have it. Still have it on there. Not backing out. And I'll read the question. you can put as little as you want, Alex. I'm not here to hurt you.
I've already been hurt. It's fine. I did a little bit. Look at this. Just a little bit.
A little dab. All right. 1, 2, 3. Immediately better.
Yeah.
Where I touched my tongue is very hot.
Yeah.
It feels like a jalapeno hot. There's a lot of eating sounds. And I'm like, I apologize. I've lost my sense. Very like a fresh jalapeno kind of spice. Not as bad. I did put less on there.
They're asking us what the cap level of this one is.
It just says question. It doesn't even give you one.
The bottle, yeah, the bottle for this one, the experience is just a question mark.
Yeah, they don't even give you anything. It's just really hot pepper.
It's very hot where you put it. It doesn't spread like the bomb does.
I think we also were a little more ginger. I'm actually going to just try a little bit. Hold on.
I'm sorry, friends. You're seeing me at my weakest now. I was strong. I was brave, and I got laid low.
Now's your time to kill him. Right?
My proudest Starfinder 1E moment. I survived being microwaved.
That's hard to survive. That's very hard to survive. You should be proud.
We played. God, the very first character I played was actually at James's table in Dead Sons. We played that adventure path as it came out, and it was so much fun. I miss Robin and Tom immensely. And In that game, I played Shoku. He was a fighter who was based off of the main character of Iron-Blooded Orphans, the Gundam series. And the joke with him was that I had him at a respectable 18-year age starting point. And when I still told that to Robin, she kept telling me, everybody, that my character was younger than he actually was.
Kind of acted like it.
He was not a smart boy. He really wasn't. His nickname was Fight Boy, and it wasn't a good thing. And he got afflicted with so many worms. I had to go to the hospital after that adventure. That was fun. But the big thing was, we were exploring this like ruined cloud city, and there's a point where like you find a medical machine, and if you go inside of it, it's still functioning, and it'll blast you with radiation. And Robin's character dared me to go in, and I'm no coward, as you saw. And similar to what's going on with my mouth right now, which is why I took that last pause, I got locked in the machine because it was a trap, and I got 7 minutes of a lethal dose of medium radiation. And I survived because prior to going in there, I found the only set of level 7 or higher armor that we had gotten to that point and was immune. Very good.
That was such a good stroke of luck that they gave you the armor and then bullied you instead of just bullying you and taking the armor. Just
I would have died. 7 minutes in there, I would have died.
Yeah, 7 minutes in a radioactive hell, not heaven.
Starfinder is very kind with hit point damage and stamina point damage, but when it comes to any type of, if there's a track involved, it will kill you. Yeah, it will kill you.
The ability score does not give much margin for error. I went back on the last dab because I'm like, I'm going to try it again. And man, it's a potent.
Oh my
it's
god.
It's good. It actually has a good taste to it.
Unlike the bomb.
Yeah, the bomb. Oh god, that was so bad.
It was awful.
You know how in what's his name, Signal Streams, you suffer traumas? I've suffered a trauma.
Me too. 100%.
Oh god, it's like the bomb is still living there, and then the last dab is like, here, have some spit that tastes good, as opposed to the other one. Mm. Oh god. I'm dropping frames here.
No, Dustin Knight, the Paizo developer, says, you've convinced me not to try to convince Thirsty to do this during a stream. No, do it. Thurston Hellman, I challenge you. I challenge you to put the bomb in your mouth.
Do it. Just a little bit, though. Don't hurt yourself. Oh, God. I think my proudest moment in Starfinder 1, I think it was the second convention, Gen Con, that I went to. Might have been the first. I forget. It was the first because I volunteered a lot of time. I think I volunteered for almost a full amount without getting a room, or the highest you could without that. And I don't know how they've changed it now, but back at that time, you basically got one or two scenarios to run. And I got to run, forget the name of the scenario, but it's on the mystery planet where like every door leads to something new.
Oh, Salvation's End.
Salvation's End. Yeah, Salvation's End.
I love Salvation's End.
And I had to run the scenario, I think it was six times, where you go into the swamps and there's the three factions, the gnolls or whatever they are, the whatever they are, and then the mysterious creature that lurks in the dark. And being able to give that reveal that it's just a roided unicorn, and watching the surprise on all the players' faces each time as they realize they were afraid of a unicorn and then realize they should be afraid of a unicorn. I love it.
They're like, a unicorn? That's just a unicorn!
Oh my god, its horn's a grenade launcher! Like, when you get to there, you should be afraid, and I love that. Getting to run that and still and give that reveal, that was classic. I'm proud of that and not being jaded, because it's very easy to get upset at, because I know having to run a scenario a bunch of times can sometimes get you down, because you're like, I want to do something different, but getting such a fun scenario and getting to do that for players, I think that's my proudest first E moment. Yeah, I think that's about it.
did we make it through? Did we survive?
Of course we did. You thought we won it?
Yeah, I thought we would up until the bomb, and then I wasn't sure if I was going to make it.
Yeah, that was a big jump. Yeah, it was a big jump.
Oh, I'm dead.
And it tastes just bad. Dead. Oh, and every so often I just take a swallow, and then it's just spicy again.
It's still there. It hasn't gone away.
Yeah, it's been about 10 minutes. Yeah, it's been pretty rough.
Oh, my God. My brother is in chat saying that the bomb has something called a Scoville score of 120,000. What does that mean?
So the Scoville scale is like an inexact scale, but it's a scale that's used to determine hotness, relativeness. It's how many times a given volume of a solution has to be diluted in sugar water to not present, to not be spicy as presented.
Wow.
So like, you would have to dilute 1 gram of the bomb with 120,000 grams of sugar water to have that resulting mixture not be spicy.
Oh my
also
God.
Also be careful around your eyes. So yeah, it's an inexact science. I definitely had stuff hotter than that as of Scoville wise. But there's just something about the bomb itself, where the composition of it is also bad. That just really sends it over the limit. It might also be just where the heat comes from, because it's different getting heat from capsaicin as an isolated substance, as opposed to from a biological component. So, like, 120,000 from capsaicin is likely to taste spicier immediately and on your tongue than it would be from a pepper that's that spicy. Because habaneros, I think, go up to 50 or 60K. I forget, and I've had hotter peppers. I've had tied bird's eye, and they're around 120, and they are so much better than this. God, I'm just going to throw that out right now. If you hear that, I'm not subjecting anybody to that. Well, so, Alex, anything else to say on the eve of the end of Starfinder 1E?
Oh my God. My face.
Gotta be careful around your eyes. If you got any on your hands, it's gonna get in your eyes and you're gonna blind yourself.
I don't wanna be blind.
No, you don't.
Well, with that, this was fun. I'm in pain, serious pain.
That's what you get for having me plan a show.
Never again.
I did have a thing to give out to patrons of at least displaying names, and I got the list from Ryan, and I realized it is actual names, so we're going to work on that, because I'm not just going to dox people's real names here.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea, I think.
Definitely.
Just as an appreciation for all your patrons that have stayed with us through, I was looking, it was like 2017 the game first started coming out, about 7 years since we've been playtesting. And stay with the network the whole time. We'll be here at least through Starfinder 2E playtest. Can't guarantee if it's a game that we don't like or are not enthusiastic about, if it's something that we continue, but I'm more than willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe we'll see if we can get some people to come on. Maybe we'll do like a let's play for 1 month or something. We can figure it out.
Yeah, we can do some playtest games. We can work through it.
Yeah.
And, I do think the last app was just easier than the bomb. Also, I think we moderated ourselves on it better. But,
definitely.
But also, it also just tastes better.
It does, and, 100%.
Doesn't just taste like ash in your mouth. Any other thoughts? Any other shout-outs?
Shout-outs to the Starfinder team for making a great game. Hope that your launch this tomorrow goes great. And shout out to everyone at No Direction. Thank you so much for joining us on this, episode 76, 87 of No Direction Beyond. We're getting close to the big centennial, which is wild to me. We've gone through so many changes and have covered so many fantastic products and given you so many wild, unhinged opinions that I am thankful for everybody that's been here for the whole time, everybody who's joined us since. You guys are the reason James and I keep doing this. We've been here since the beginning, and as long as Starfinder is a game that is for us, we're going to keep being around, and we can't wait for the next episode. Looking at my clock, it's probably going to be August 28th, and that's going to be our very big review of all the playtest stuff. So if you want to hear our thoughts on the playtest rulebook, it'll have been out for a month by that point. Come on down.
Yeah. And if you have me plan the 100th centennial episode, I don't know what to do. I think we'll just have to, like, shoot each other.
Oh, my God.
Like, increasingly large calibers, like rubber band,
You've BB already gun. Shot me. You've already shot me. Well, hopefully we'll figure out something fun to do for the 100th episode when we get there. But until then, go beyond. No direction.